one of the big stories coming out of Washington was the fact that President Barack Obama, through his Attorney General Eric Holder, decided that they would no longer go to court and fight for the law of the land known as the Defense of Marriage Act. Now, basically, you will remember that is a law that was duly passed by our members of Congress by a vast majority back in 1996, both Republicans and Democrats voting in favor of it, and signed into law by President Clinton in 1996. And the reason at that time was that in Hawaii, they were moving in the direction of homosexual marriage. And other states became worried about that because they said, you know, for example, somebody gets legally married in Hawaii, homosexuals, they can bring that because of the way the laws work to one of the states and demand that that marriage be accepted. So at the time, there wasn't too much fuss about that. As I say, I think it was 80% in the House and about as many in the Senate.
It was even more in the Senate.
In the Senate. And President Clinton signs it into law. But here we are in 2011, and much has changed since that time, to the point now where we have a president who says, I don't want to defend that. In fact, over the last couple of months, in announcing the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the military, and again last week, in announcing the fact that the Justice Department will now no longer defend DOMA in the courts, it was noted that the president himself is now grappling with whether he is opposed to homosexual marriage personally.
Which he said he was opposed to it during the campaign.
When he was a candidate.
Right.
Exactly. Well, that has upset a number of people, a coalition of about 36,000 black pastors across this country expressing concern about that when it was announced last week. But also now joining them is Dr. Ken Hutchinson, who is the senior pastor of Antioch Bible Church in Kirkland, Washington. And Pastor Hutchinson joins us on the line right now. Good morning, Pastor Hutchinson. I say good morning because you're in Seattle.
Yes.
And it's still morning there.
It is still morning here, yes.
All right. We're far behind Seattle, but that's always the case, isn't it?
You know, as far as being liberal, you guys are always behind, so stay that way.
Now, Pastor Hutchinson, and people call you Hutch, isn't that correct?
Absolutely.
Is that from your NFL days, playing with Dallas and Seattle, I believe?
Well, I think it's just something that makes it a lot easier than Pastor Hutchinson, you know.
Okay. And you're a guy from Alabama who's a pastor in Seattle. That's a whole other story we must get to sometime.
I think you would really enjoy it to see the God's leading and how I got here. You know, you can't be as far away from Alabama and still be in the continental United States as Seattle.
Well, Pastor Hutchinson, you have written a letter to President Barack Obama. I'm not sure if it'll ever get delivered.
Well, it'll probably be, he'll probably hear about it at least. It should be printed hopefully tomorrow in World Net Daily.
All right. It starts
an open letter to the president.
Excellent. It starts, Mr. President, if you please. And let's just go through that letter because at the beginning of it, you start off by saying that you and President Barack Obama share a bit of a common background. Beyond being African Americans, you have a very similar background.
Very much, yeah. I think that, you know, I had no influence from my father growing up. I was an illegitimate child. I have, you know, ran into much opposition in growing up in Alabama as a black man. Mm. So I felt for the prejudices. I have a cross-cultural family now. I have my children half black, half white, that I see what they struggle with every day in our society and looking at who they are and how people look at them. Even though their mother is the whitest white woman in the world, in all the schools and all of curriculum, they are classified as black. Mm. And I talked about the influence, the lack of influence, and how that the big difference is made is who we have picked as father figures. You know, I picked Jesus Christ as my father figure in the absence of a father, and he picked politicians.
Absolutely. Now, you kind of get into this, and you get personal with the president.
Yes.
You say you're very concerned about the president personally and where he is taking this country.
I am. I am very. I think that the counselors that he has surrounded himself with, again, is one that is not a constitutional type of bunch. They're not a conservative Christian type of bunch. They are not those that love the United States more than they love many social issues. They are a group that is counseling him on basically to turn our strong nation into a weak nation and try to make others stronger than us. So I'm very concerned with who he's surrounding himself with, and I'm very concerned about the church more than I am concerned about the president.
Pastor Hutcherson, Ed Vitagliano here. In your letter, which is outstanding, by the way,
you
mention as well that you believe in absolute truth, but you mention that the president, you say, quote, all your father figures have influenced you greatly in a liberal mosaic, and truth is simply what is beneficial for your cause, end quote. Now, that seems to be something that has infected not just politics, and maybe is that kind of pragmatism has always infected politics to some extent, but it is also, I think, infected the church. Speak to the issue of the difference between viewing the world and viewing truth as being absolute and revealed by God, and then this kind of pragmatic, whatever gets me in the door and whatever works for me kind of ethic that is just, because you do say that the church is weak in this country, and I guess it's because of,
it's extremely weak. And the reason why the church is so weak is because many of the shepherds are not shepherds, they're hirelings, and they want to be liked. You look at 1 John chapter 2 and chapter 3, and it lays out and says that they didn't know Christ, so don't expect them to know you. That's number one. But what is the church trying to do today? The church is trying to get not only to be known, but to be known as lovers, and will love you even if you stay in your sin. We ought to love everyone, but we do not love them if they stay in the sin. And the big perpetrated lie out there today is that you ought to love the sinner and hate the sin. That did not come from Jesus Christ. That is not Christ's teaching. That is not biblical teaching. You cannot love the sinner if he does not separate from his sin. You love him, but you judge him along with his sin. And repentance is the issue. That love the sinner and not the sin comes from Gandhi. And I haven't read 1st and 2nd Gandhi anywhere in my Bible.
You know, it's very interesting, Pastor Hutchinson, that you mentioned that. We had a caller yesterday towards the end of the program that made it very clear. She's a young lady. I believe she grew up in a church home. She talked that way. I believe she said she's part of the military. But she expressed the view that you were just talking about that's out there in the world today about, you know, we shouldn't be condemning people for the decisions that they make. You know, judge not lest you be judged. He's well seen and cast the first stone. You know, all of those that come up now, they have their theology and they have their favorite verses, and that's what drives them, but they leave out the rest of Scripture.
I think that's why God wrote 66 books, not one. I think that why God had 10 commandments and not 10 suggestions.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's why God has said that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I think that's why God says that if they hated me, they're going to hate you. And we're trying our best to be like. You know, you got to really, truly blame the shepherds. People are going to follow what the shepherds say.
Yeah.
And if they're not going to follow what the shepherds say, they're going to leave. And that's a good... You know what? That is a good call on a pastor's name. Sometimes by the amount of people that leave, and many pastors are so, their ego is so associated with who loves them, who stays, and what they say if they stay and what they say if they leave, that they can't do what Christ has asked them to do. My hope is in Christ. That's why I wrote the book. Hope is contagious. I've been with bone cancer now for 4 years, cancer for 9 years. And, you know, I'm dying every day. I mean, literally. And the thing that's so great about it is how close Christ and I are, because I know what my hope is. I've read the last chapter. I've cheated. I know I win. So how could I be upset about anything that happens to me when I know it's the best?
Pastor, it is because of that spiritual environment we have in our country today, that compromising spirit, and our unwillingness as a nation to adhere to God's word, to obey, to fear God. I think what you're saying is that is helping and enabling President Barack Obama to make the decisions that he's making.
Very much so. Guys, if you remember in Christ's 3 years of ministry on the earth, the first time the Romans sent the soldiers out to arrest Christ, do you remember what they did when they didn't arrest Christ and what they told the leadership when they came back?
Mm-hmm.
They said, "Where is Christ? We sent you out to arrest him." They said, No, it was no way. Did you see the amount of people? We thought we would start a riot if we tried to arrest him because the people was behind him. When they arrested Christ, even the disciples were asleep. And we are asleep today. Unity scares government. Power, money, and votes scare government. And we have backed off. We got pastors up in the Northwest that was bulls on the gospel and walking with Christ and fighting. And then we got, man, just battles. And then many of them got beat up. Now, man, they want to put that more loving, accepting attitude in their ministries and their churches. And it's a sad aspect when the church become evangelical fish with no spiritual vertebrae.
Pastor Hutcherson, going back to your letter, and by the way, I do appreciate your strong stand for the gospel and the honor of Christ. I don't want to start preaching a little bit here myself. I think there is a lot of simple cowardice in the church today, but it's not my job to preach today. It's your job to preach today. So let me just ask
you. It's our job to preach every day, just by the way we walk.
And going back to this letter and the president's refusal to defend the Defense of Marriage Act, mm-hmm. you consider this, as you said in an interview with the One News Now, that this is a type of tyranny towards Christian values and views. Could you explain that?
Absolutely. Who gets attacked? Who is the only one that you do not have to show tolerance to? Who are the ones that is totally eliminated as being kooks, crazy, narrow-minded, archaic in all our views? It isn't those out there who's trying to overthrow the government. It's not those out there who's trying to now make government pay for their unions and decide that they're going to give all the money from the union, 98% of it, going to liberal politicians and liberal thought. Who is the one who's out there beating on the bush that Christ is narrow-minded, and that if you really believe what the Bible says, then you shouldn't be listened to? It's Christians. Who's the one who's getting attacked even when our Christmas holidays in the stores? It is not the world out there that is getting attacked and beat up. And anyone else? I mean, illegal aliens got more respect. And I'm talking about illegal aliens got more respect than Christians.
You've written a letter to President Barack Obama. The main theme, your concern with his decision not to defend the Defense of Marriage Act. But also in that, you kind of outlined for him your concerns about other areas of his public policy so far.
Oh, absolutely. I think that he has tested the waters, and he has found a great deal of silence. And when anything came up, it died quickly. You know, the whole issue with the Constitution of his health care. You know, he just says, well, I think it is constitutional. And I am going to continue to push it, even though the courts have said it's unconstitutional. While he turns right around and says a couple of courts says that they believe that the DOMA is unconstitutional. He agrees with that, so he's going to go with the way he wants, regardless of what the court says. And the court has the final say on this, and the legislative branch, not just the judiciary. So the president don't have the final say. So praise God that our forefathers knew how to put together a tremendous document that protects our country if the people would stand behind it. He also had Eric Holder hold off, if you remember, on the Black Panthers who stood out in front of the voting booths and told them not to prosecute those guys when it came up. And whatever really happened with that, it kind of just went on the wayside. So he's tested the water quite a bit. And I think that now that he's trying to get some pressure off of him with what's going on in the Middle East and his lack of decision, lack of leadership of the free world, and his throwing his finger up and catching the wind, I think he's come up with this DOMA thing, trying to get some pressure off of him.
Pastor Hutcherson, this letter that you wrote, this open letter to President Obama, deals with things like the law SB 1070 in Arizona, which intends to protect the border against a wave of illegal immigration.
Absolutely.
You touch on a number of other political issues. What do you say to people who say, well, Pastor Hutcherson, you should concern yourself with preaching the gospel and stay out of politics? You're a minister. What do you say to people when they throw that at you?
Most of the time, it's just white people, bro. Most of the time, it's just white evangelicals who think that our job is to be inside the four walls of safety. The Bible tells me I am to march, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Gates are not an offensive weapon. They are a defensive weapon. And so the only way I can run into the defensive weapon gates is that I'm doing the marching, and that we got to take the message. And it's not politics. It's righteousness. And, you know, the church used to own the whole issue of pornography. We made it politics, and the church backed off. The church used to own the issue of marriage. They called it politics, and the church backed off. Church used to own the whole issue of homosexuality. They made it out of politics and put politics on, and the church backed off. Just because the secular world put a secular name on what God has called us to stand for makes no difference to me. This is what we are supposed to be, the salt of the earth, and if someone wants to call what I do political, so be it.
Pastor Hutchinson, back in the election campaign leading up to the election day in 2008, Barack Obama enjoyed the support of many pastors, white evangelical pastors, and pastors within the black community.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that that has changed somewhat because of the, I would say, anti-Christian, anti-biblical stance that this president has taken over the last couple of years?
Well, I think most of the change has taken place, but not because of his stance against Christianity.
Hmm.
I think many of the black pastors was bamboozled just because he was black. They didn't want to hear what he had to say.
Hmm.
And I think that they are upset because of his political views, a lot more than because of his Christian views. And that is a sad commentary on us as a church, bro.
Do you think that will make a difference in 2012? Where do you see the leaders of the black churches in particular going politically over the next couple of years?
I think many African-American has looked at him, but I still think that over 80% would still vote for him just because he's black. That's a sad commentary, just to vote for someone. I've never voted for anyone just because they're white.
Mm.
So why should we vote for someone just because they're black?
Now,
I think that is going to change a great deal in 2012 because many of the guilty white people that voted for him is rearranging their thought pattern.
So as an African-American pastor yourself, do you come under fire from other pastors, be they black or white, because of the conservative stand that you take?
Come under fire is more like blowtorches, bro. it's serious. But the two things about me that is a known fact. One, either I'm hated and they make no bones about it. I'm feared and they make no bones about it. But all of them respect me because they know exactly where I'm coming from.
Hmm.
Pastor Hutchinson, there's always some talk in Republican circles about Republicans need to reach out to the black community. How can Republicans do that if their political views are so divergent? I mean, is there a way to reach out? Is that a fool's errand, do you think, for people who are, well, conservative, let's say it that way, but most of those fall into the Republican camp? Is that a possibility to reach out to the black community or not?
I think that the number one thing, we are a cross-culture church at Antioch.
Mm.
I'm an African-American pastor married to one of the whitest white women you can imagine, German descent, 4 German chocolate kids. We have a great family, just loving every minute of it. But you know how you reach everyone? It's put everyone of all colors in leadership.
Mm-hmm.
When Mr. Steele was head of the RNC, I thought that, man, we was going to have a great deal of difference. But, you know, what did he do? How much to the black community did he really reach out to? That was not good. But it's got to be a called, dedicated focus that you're going to bring all people. The Republican Party not only needs to reach out to African Americans, bro, they need to reach out to the Hispanic, they need to reach out to every minority there, because that's how you win. That's how you win the independence. You don't compromise your view. You let them know that this is our view, and we want you to join us in our view. You don't change your view to bring them in, because then you water down what the message is that conservatives have and God has called us to do.
Pastor Hutchinson, just to get back to your point that you make in the letter, and we've talked about it, that our nation, overall, this is a spiritual problem. This is a spiritual crisis of sort that we are in, brought on by our rejection of the authority of God's word and a sovereign God.
Mm-hmm.
As a pastor, when you get up in your pulpit each Sunday, mm-hmm. The message can sound discouraging to your flock.
Oh, no.
But so what do you say to them to keep, because you are a leader and you're out there in the front and taking the charge on this. What do you say to people to keep them from being discouraged?
I try to live it. Mm. That's the greatest example I think I give our people. I don't talk about politics from the pulpit. I talk about the word of God and the politics, an issue that is political is in that word. I'm an expository preacher. So I preach books. And whatever subject is in that book, that's what I preach. I don't count out against it. And the number one thing is that my people have seen me go bone cancer. And if anyone has the right to be down, frustrated, and think we're going to lose, it's me. Mm-hmm. And they haven't seen one day of that in my life. Mm-hmm. And if they can see me overcome one of the greatest adversities that I can have physically, and my spiritual strength overrides that 100%, it's nothing in the world that our people have a right to be frustrated about and think that we're going to lose.
Pastor Hutchinson, this letter that you've written to President Barack Obama, you say it's going to be published tomorrow. Is it WorldNet Daily?
WorldNet Daily. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to publish that?
It's supposed to publish it tomorrow, yeah.
Going to wait a few days to see if you get a response from the White House?
I think that I'm going to probably wait a little longer than that. But he is going to hear about it. There's no doubt about it. That's one thing. I thought if I just mailed it to him directly, mm-hmm. you know, I spent lots of time going to the White House and spending time and had the privilege of meeting with President Bush and just laying out what I felt God was saying. I, like I say, my issue isn't political. My issue is making sure that this United States hangs to what we was all brought up to be, what this nation was started by, biblical principles. And biblical principles don't work with the MR people.
Mm. How do you get involved in election campaign? Because we're almost into another election campaign season. What do you do as a pastor?
We let people know we can't tell them how to vote because we know what our rights are. Most pastors are afraid to talk about politics, but only in the white community. Like I say again, black pastors and churches have candidates in there, everything else without having the other view. And it's okay with African-American pastors, but white pastors are so afraid of losing the 501c3, they won't even hiccup about anything. But we'll put out our vote on how I'm going to vote, why I'm going to vote for these people, why I'm not going to vote for the people. And then they have the people make up their own mind.
How do you find it? You know, the West Coast is often referred to as the left coast.
Oh, yeah.
You've been out there for some time now. You know, like you say, I guess it's you have greater opportunities, as you, I think you put it, there on the West Coast. There's a lot of opportunity. I remember when I was living in Vancouver, they said only about 3% of the population went to church.
I'm telling you, it's low.
It's a mission field.
It is a tremendous mission field. And I love it when people go, man, how difficult is it? I go, we are surrounded by the enemy and we got them cornered.